can you know what your spiritual gift is? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
You will never really understand your spiritual gift without the mind of Christ, without a renewed mind. And if you're trying to discover your spiritual gift without making that voluntary presentation, that sacrificial presentation, no wonder you don't know your spiritual gift. Do you know why you don't know your spiritual gift? Because your mind is not renewed. But when you present yourself to Him, a sacrificial presentation, then there will be a spiritual transformation. And you will prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Now, don't be afraid of the will of God. That's the highest, happiest, and holiest place for you.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless teaching and biblical insights of Pastor Adrian Rogers. A spiritual gift is not a natural talent. It is a supernatural ability from God. We must discover our spiritual gifts and be good stewards of what God has given us to use for His glory. But how can we know what God has gifted us with? What ways can we use our gifting to serve Him? If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 6 as Adrian Rogers shares how to discover your spiritual gift.
Take God's word. Find Romans chapter 12, and when you found it, look up here. Now, we're thinking today about spiritual gifts. Romans 12, look, if you will, in verse 6 of this chapter. Having then gifts differing. He's talking about different gifts. You have one gift, I have another gift. We have different gifts. No one has all of the gifts. Everybody has at least one of the gifts. You are a gifted child. God has wrapped it up in you. And what we want to do is to help you to unwrap your spiritual gift. Now, a spiritual gift is not a natural talent, but a gift is a supernatural ability. It may be married to a natural talent, but it goes beyond natural talents. It is not natural. It is supernatural. It is a grace gift. The Greek word for grace is charis, so we would call it a charismatic gift. Now, you are a gifted child, and you may feel unworthy. You may say, hey, I'm not gifted, Pastor. I'm just a lowly servant. Well, I'm not even worthy to lead in silent prayer in the children's department. No, you are a gifted child. Alexander the great conquering general, one time gave a very beautiful and priceless golden cup to a lowly servant. When the servant saw the gift, he said, oh no, that's too much for me to receive. And Alexander drew himself up and said, it is not too much for me to give. God is the one who gives the gift. And don't come around with some false humility and say that you do not have a particular gift. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will give an account of what you did with your spiritual gift. Your stewardship of that spiritual gift. So you need to discover your spiritual gift. And today we're going to be talking about how to unwrap your gift. And it's all going to come right out of this 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Principle number one is a sacrificial presentation. It all begins with a sacrificial presentation. Look, if you will, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Have you ever done that? Just say, here I am, Lord. I present myself to you. I am a volunteer. All that I have belongs to you. That's the first thing, a sacrificial presentation. Now, here's the second thing. There will be a spiritual transformation. After the presentation, a transformation. Look, if you will, now in verse 2. And be not conformed, that is, squeezed in to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A transformation. Do you know why you don't know your spiritual gift? Because your mind is not renewed. But when you present yourself to Him, a sacrificial presentation, then there will be a spiritual transformation. And you will prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. That's the second step. Have you got it? Nod your head. Okay, good. Now, don't be afraid of the will of God. That's the highest, happiest, and holiest place for you. Now, number three, there will be then time for a sober consideration. Now, look, if you will, in verse 3 of this same chapter. Now, for I say through the grace given unto me, and you know what that word grace is? Charis, the charisma given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. Three times in one verse, he says what? Think, think, think. Now, didn't we just say that he's going to renew your mind? What would you do with a renewed mind? May I suggest that you think with it? Well, Pastor, that's so nebulous. Would you help me a little bit? Give me some guidance here as to how to think. All right, let me give you some principles. Begin with the letter E, just for remembrance. First of all, there's the principle of enlightenment. You see, the Holy Spirit of God that's in you will just enlighten your mind. This is the mystical part of it. And there is a mystical part of it. I mean, it's not a mathematical formula. The Holy Spirit of God will begin to speak to your heart. He did when He called me into the ministry. That's the ministry of enlightenment. Now, secondly, the principle of enjoyment. Enjoyment. When you feel the Holy Spirit of God kind of moving you to do something, enlightenment, and you do it and you enjoy it. By the way, I don't know whether the show's not, but I enjoy what I'm doing right now. I really do. I mean, I can hardly wait to come and preach. I enjoy what I do. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what melts my butter? What do I really enjoy doing? Did you hear about the animal school? Well, the animals had a school, and they were going to be taught running and climbing and flying and swimming. And when the duck enrolled in school, man, he was great in swimming. He was fair in flying. Climbing and running, boy, he was bad in climbing and running. So since he was so good at swimming, they just didn't give him any more courses in swimming, and they made him work out on the track all day long, running and running and running. After a while, he got worse in his swimming, not much better in his running, but everybody else in the school no longer threatened by the duck. The duck, they just toned him down. Everybody felt a little more comfortable. Now, the eagle, they put the eagle in school. Boy, he was great in climbing. He always got the top of the tree, but he wouldn't do it the right way. The eagle just had another way of getting to the top of the tree. Well, they scolded the eagle for that, and they put the eagle in the swimming classes. The eagle did not like the swimming classes. After a while, the eagle got so rebellious about the whole thing, they expelled the eagle from school. And then the rabbit. Boy, the rabbit, he was great in running. Boy, he loved running. But he wasn't so good in the rest of the things. He was bad in swimming. He hated the swimming classes. He was not a tree climber at all. So he, after a while, the poor rabbit had a nervous breakdown. And the turtle, hey, you got to feel sorry for the turtle. The turtle, he couldn't run, he couldn't swim, he couldn't fly, he couldn't climb. They say he's no good. What's this turtle good for? So they said the problem is his shell. So they took the shell out of him and helped him just a little bit in the running until the horse stepped on him. Poor turtle, he's gone. I mean, listen, they messed up the whole school. You say, that's ridiculous. Friend, that's exactly what we're trying to do in churches today. Rather than letting people do what God has equipped them to do and gifted them to do, why, we just try to tone them down in some area where they're strong and beef them up in some area they're not gifted at all to do. God has given you a particular gift, and you're going to find out that there will be enlightenment, there will be enjoyment in this gift. And then let me give you another thing that there will be in this gift. There will be the principle of encouragement. You'll find other people encouraging you in your own gift. Why? Because they're blessed by it. That was the amazement to me when I was a youngster And in our church, and I had surrendered my life to do whatever, Lord Jesus, you want me to do. I just filled in a blank piece of paper and said, here I am, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And they asked me to be the Youth Week pastor. Can you imagine that? Listen, I was not a good student in school. I was bright, but I wasn't a good student. I can't ever remember even bringing a book home. Really, seriously, never. If I didn't get it in class, I just didn't get it. I could get it by listening and by faking it. And, and I just going through with average grades. And the last thing I ever thought of myself was doing was preaching. But they asked me to be the Youth Week pastor. And I got up there petrified. Wasn't afraid of anything moved on the football field, but I was petrified. And I spoke. And people came by and said, I was blessed by that. That was good. Do it again. Do it again. At first, I thought, they're just being nice to me. I must have done real bad. But they kept saying that. And they kept saying that. And, I liked it. If a preacher tells you, I don't like for you to tell me I did good, he's lying. He's lying. I mean, when you're encouraged, that helps. There's that enlightenment. There's that enjoyment. There is that encouragement. And then there is that enablement. God will enable you to do this. Listen to this verse. Put it down. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul knew he could not do what he did in the ministry without the enablement. The two things, I go back to my high school days, two things that I really enjoyed the least. You know what they were? Speaking and writing. Guess what I do? Guess what I do? How did I do that? Well, God knew that somehow there was a latent gift there that he had put into me, and he has enabled me. And so when God gives you this mind, what do you do with it? Think with it. Not more highly than you ought to think, but soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, here's the next thing. There is to be a shared participation. Look, if you will, now in verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that is, the same work. Doesn't mean a place where you do your work. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, we need to learn that when we present ourselves to Jesus, we're also presenting ourselves to one another. And there's to be a shared participation. When you belong to Jesus, you belong to me. And when I belong to Jesus, I belong to you. Remember that the church is his body. It's not an organization with Jesus Christ as the president. It is a body with Jesus Christ as the head, and we're all members in that body. And it is arrogance and conceit and pride that divides us. It is the Holy Spirit of God that unites us. And so when we find our gift, there's to be this shared participation. Everyone's gift is not as obvious. I mean, you're seeing more my mind and my voice than you are my liver right now, right? You're not thinking, boy, his liver is really functioning good this morning. No. But if my liver weren't functioning, I wouldn't be up here preaching. You see, look, there are people that are doing things in this church right now that you're not aware of, but there's a shared participation. And each gift is given to perfect the body of Christ. And if you're not fulfilling the purpose for which God put you in this body, you're harmful and hurtful to the body. How many active members do you have, Pastor? Friend, they're all active. Some are tearing down and some are building up. They're all active. God put you in this body as it has pleased him, and there's to be a shared participation. Nobody has all of the gifts. Everybody has at least one of the gifts. And we are dependent upon one another. God made us different that he might make us one. Not only a shared participation, but now watch this. A specific activation. Now, begin to read here in verse 6. And you're going to find out how he comes to a therefore. Now, he's talking about all these things that go before this. You know, we present ourselves to him, and he renews our mind, and then we find ourselves operating in the body. Now, he says, having then, therefore, having then gifts differing according to the charisma that is given to us, the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, he mentions here seven gifts, and he says, get with it. Get activated. You see, you want to know your gift? Well, just pick out something that you think may be your gift and get busy. It's hard to steer a ship that's not moving. Don't just sit there. God's not going to zap you. You're going to find your gift as you get busy. He says, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That is, you may not have a lot of faith, but he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. Take what you've got and put it into business. Now, let's look one more time quickly at these seven gifts, see if you can spot yours. Seven right here. There's some more over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but right here. First of all, it talks about prophecy in verse 6. Do you see it? Look at it. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is declaring truth. If you have the gift of prophecy, you're going to find yourself, for example, being used in jail services, mission work. You're going to find yourself perhaps teaching a class, but you're going to find that in your teaching, you're going to have a desire to be persuasive, and you will be persuasive. You will be moving people to action. And then he mentions in verse 7, service, our ministry. Well, that's another word for service. And you're going to find yourself, if that is your gift, meeting spiritual needs in a practical way. That's church work, activities program. And then he mentions the gift of teaching. Look in verse 7. If you have this gift, you want to clarify truth. I mean, you'll have a desire to search out things and to validate truth that's been presented. And you'll have a questioning mind, and you'll be used in Sunday school, and you'll be used in missionary organizations, neighborhood Bible studies, backyard Bible schools, and so forth. And then he mentions exhortation. What is exhortation? That's the desire, in verse 8, that's the desire to stimulate people in their faith, to exhort them to love Jesus better. And if you have that gift, you're going to enjoy personal counseling and maybe in visitation, going after those who lost, strayed, or stolen, soul winning. Just the ministry of encouragement, that's exhortation. And then he mentions giving. Now, we're all commanded to give, but some people have the gift of giving. And what is that? You're motivated to entrust personal assets to others that the work of God may be carried on. And you make good decisions to meet immediate needs. And you're careful in your giving, but you're willing to give, and you have the ability to accumulate and disperse assets. And then he mentions ruling in verse 8. Maybe that's your gift. It's the motivation not to be the big shot, but to coordinate things and to help people to see a big vision and to move them toward that vision, to coordinate the activities of others for a common goal for the glory of God. And that's the gift to preside, to lead, to stand before others. A person has this gift is also has a gift of vision. He sees where we ought to go, and he begins to lead and motivate people to that. Then there's a gift of mercy. Maybe that's your gift. Oh, how needed that is. Look in verse 8. What is the gift of mercy? You identify with people and comfort people who are in distress. And if you feel empathy and sympathy for the misfortune and heartaches of others, you will mentally and emotionally and practically relate to those needs. And you'll find yourself in hospital visitation, benevolence, counseling, all of these things. Now, all of these gifts are there. Now, let's come to the final thing. Now, after there is this activity where you actually get busy, you're going to find that it will begin to gel. Now, go back up to verse 2. Look at it again, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There will be a settled confirmation. You will prove. You will prove. You will prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You will prove it in your own heart. you will have this confirmation and you will say, yes, that is my spiritual gift. And once you see that, then number one, you accept yourself. Number two, you begin to be yourself. Number three, you begin to give yourself. And when you accept yourself, be yourself, and give yourself, friend, then you are blessed, God is glorified, and the church is strengthened. Just look around. What would happen? Folks, look. What would happen if the people in this church, we quit being pew potatoes? Well, a lot of you are. If that hurts your feelings, you come apologize to me and I'll forgive you. What would happen? What would happen if you presented yourself a sacrificial presentation and had a spiritual transformation and then made a sober consideration? Lord, what do you want me to do? One more time, I want to give it to you. And when you do that, that's the first step in discovering your spiritual gift. I want you to do it. You'll be so glad you did. There are others of you who've never been saved at all. You can't present yourself anything until you present yourself a sinner needing to be saved. And you say, Lord Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me. I trust you to save me. And I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, if you will trust Him with a childlike faith, today He will save you. He will forgive every sin. He'll come into your heart. He'll make you a new creature. And He'll take you one day home to heaven.
Is what Pastor Rogers just described what you'd like to do? Would you like to receive the gift of salvation that Jesus is offering you? Pray a simple prayer. Oh God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you. I do believe that Jesus came on a rescue mission for me. He died in my place. He took my penalty and He rose again to new life. I ask you to come into my heart right now. Change me. Conform me to the image of Christ. From this day forward, I claim you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to celebrate with you. Go to our Find God's Love page on the website. You'll find some answers that you may need about your newfound faith right there. Click the tab that says Find God's Love when you go to lwf.org/radio. Welcome to the family of God. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, How to Discover Your Spiritual Gift. This message is also part of the insightful series, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. For that complete four-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD or order online at lwf.org/radio or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You may not know, you can also purchase our new Bible studies much like this message in our online store. For more on that, go to lwf.org/radio. Today, consider what your church's greatest need is and how you can be of best use. As you're figuring out where you fit in the body, be open to things you may not see as glamorous. Remember, as Pastor Rogers said, availability is the greatest ability. We hope you'll join us next time for more timeless truth right here on Love Worth Finding. We were so encouraged by a brief note a listener left not long ago. God gave Pastor Rogers a wonderful gift to preach the gospel. My kids and I always listen to him. His messages are my favorite. Thank all of you for your continued hard work. Well, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to continue the heart of Pastor Rogers to draw people to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. And to thank you for your gift right now, we'd love to send you the Bible study, More Than Conquerors. The book of Romans has been called the Constitution of Christianity. And in this study, Pastor Rogers reveals the basics of our faith and how to enjoy our victory in the Lord. Request this resource, the More Than Conquerors Bible Study, when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org/radio. and thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.